Listen, came as soon as we could.
Hey, man, we heard it over the scanner. Woo, man, what a mess. Trouble. Look, if there's anything that we can do to help, just...
All you gotta do is ask. Yeah.
What are you two bags of shit doing here? You ain't even cops no more.
Come on, man, we just want to help, okay?
We're trying to help you.
Hey, Sweet Pea, how's your cock working now that you ain't got a badge no more?
What?
This is what I think of you, you fuck-up.
Hey,
Spit
in my
face?
Hey,
whoa, whoa, whoa.
No,
hey,
look out, cause it's baby all in blue. Hey, hey, yeah, yeah. It's like Metallica.
Oh, that's what you were doing.
Yeah, it would start it as like a different thing, and then I finished with like the hoo-hoo hey-hays, you know.
I don't listen to much Metallica. Are they famous for their hoo-hoos and hey-hays?
Yeah, kind of like the Monkees.
I do listen to a lot of Monkees, so now I know what you're talking about.
Well, you know what? I am not your stepping stone, and that's because I am big time Matt O, and with me as always, he is going to be Scotty Flash Norton to my
Big
Marcus
name.
Buff Bagwell.
Ahoy, ahoy there.
Nate Adams.
Ahoy, ahoy there, Buff Bagwell, and anyone out there who accidentally stumbled upon this and is listening to it.
Yeah.
You know, I guess we can just say you're welcome right now, because this is going to be your new obsession, this baby oil and blow thing.
It's the thing all the other kids are
this
talking about.
This new baby on blow. We should put like a new sticker on it.
New.
Talking into these new microphones.
Yeah, we probably sound great.
Really starting to put some money into the production in this thing. Like, you know,
well,
it started off as a hobby, but you know, now just the money's rolling in from this, and you got to reinvest into the project. You know what I'm saying?
You get that many Stifler checks.
Yeah, Stifler had a windfall. Rich Ant died. I don't know if you've read about this in the trades. And a big spread on it in Variety this week. So, you know, he's doing okay. He was falling on hard times for a while there, you know.
Yeah.
But who of us hasn't at some point in our life? I'm not going to throw any shade at Stifler, especially now that he's rich.
Yeah.
Thanks for the money, man.
Hey, speaking of ants and whatever dying and stuff, and then you don't have to do your job anymore.
Okay, yeah.
The original guitarist from the Monkees.
Mm-hmm.
He never did any of the reunion tours because his mom, I think it was, invented Whiteout.
Hey, Davey. Where you going, babe?
I've got a date.
Got your handkerchief?
Car fare?
My rain. Better take your galoshes.
Hey, come on, you guys.
Your mother and I have been worried about you for some time now, Davey.
And you've been setting a poor example for your baby brother.
Ka-chick-ka-chick-ka, baby.
Please, son, don't talk to no strangers after midnight.
I've heard something about the person who invented Whiteout before, and it wasn't that they had one of the monkeys come out of their vagina, so I don't know. There might be a lot of stories around that lady.
Whiteout, it was that liquid paper or something. Either way,
it's the same thing.
She was wealthy, and he didn't have to do nothing.
Just for the love of being a fake band, I would think I'd be showing up for all that stuff.
Wow,
this guy apparently had no passion.
It's a different show altogether.
I wonder he didn't last.
Day.
He didn't last as a monkey.
Mike Nesmith. He good dude.
That's his name?
Yeah.
Who'd they get to go in there after him? Who's the new monkey?
I don't know. It didn't matter. They just had some kind of studio guitars. I saw him at the Star Plaza. It was a nice show.
Oh, wow.
One of Davy Jones' last performance before he left this world.
Okay.
It was him.
Did he go to the moon?
Yeah, sure he did. Him and that...
Too old to be an astronaut.
What's that? Brannigan? What's that guy's? The rich guy?
Brannigan?
I don't know. Zap Brannigan.
I was going to say, that sounds like some sort
of it was.
Cool frat boy or something. Oh, man. Is Brannigan going to be at the party tonight?
Brannigan.
Shit's going to get out of control.
Brannigan.
How many kegs are you getting? You better get an extra, which is just for Brannigan.
Brannigan likes to party, and he likes to party hard.
So, back into this pro wrestling thing again.
No.
Just digging into it week by week. We're nothing if not diligent. 1980s pro wrestling. We watched it.
Mm-hmm.
Stifler gave us a check. So we're going to give you the rundown.
Rundown.
What did we watch?
Mm.
It was World Championship Wrestling.
Yeah.
January 9th, 1988. It's a good year.
They were back in the home studios.
Oh, yeah, back in those studios. This isn't even like the big Atlanta studios yet. I thought that they had at least moved to there at this point, but...
Nope.
Looking right back like it did in 1985. Mm-hmm. We got David Crockett back after that 1 week. It was just,
yeah.
They really baited and switched us there. We thought that we had Jim Ross just coming in, doing this color commentary.
Yeah.
Him and Tony Schiavone, nice little team. No, back with Crockett and Schiavone, our classic terrible, terrible, terrible commentary team.
Just awful.
Just stammering and stuttering and monotone, muttering his way all the way
silence.
Through this goddamn show.
A lot of silence.
Stifler presents the rundown. And this was from January 9th, 1988. Our first match, Barry Windham and his partner, the man called Sting. They're in there versus Alan Martin and Tommy Angel.
Yeah.
Cool fucking ring name, Tommy Angel.
Cool name.
Sting wins this one with a big old Stinger splash and then the Scorpion Deathlock.
Mm-hmm.
Next match, Midnight Express. They're in there against Lee Peek and Mac MacGyver. Also
really cool.
Cool
name.
Fucking ring yeah. name. Balls on this guy. The height of MacGyver's popularity. He's coming out and saying he's Mac MacGyver.
Oh, yeah.
That's genius. Bobby wins this one with some sort of big spine buster off the second rope. Cornette called it a gravedigger.
Oh, the so, gravedigger, you know, yeah.
I'm going to take his word on that because, you know, he's representing the Midnights. He would know.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody know, he would know. Nikita Koloff, the Russian Nightmare, in there against Jeff Cruz. It's an all right ring name.
Yeah.
Pretty cool. Seems like a cool guy. I don't know. Doesn't sound very tough. I don't know if I'd be afraid to wrestle him. Koloff with the sickle. A duh. That was every match. I've never seen a match they didn't have with a sickle.
True.
Nikita Koloff. Your matches are kind of boring, man.
Yeah, yeah.
Barbarian versus Steve Atkins. Barbarian murders this man in his usual fashion.
Yeah, real quick.
Just ends it with that diving headbutt like he always does. Paul Jones did some guest commentary on this one. He's still representing our man, the Barbarian. It was awful.
Yeah.
Just when I thought like the commentary team couldn't get any worse.
It did.
Paul Jones probably tells the most like awkwardly timed joke I've ever heard in my life. That one of his guys, he's saying, he's in a feud with Rory. He's like, one of my guys lifts 700 pounds. And I tell you, it's true. I'm not going to tell you which one. And I heard, too, that the Road Warriors also lift 700 pounds. It's 350 from each of them, though.
Wow, I didn't even catch that.
And then
one.
He just, like, paused for, like, an applause break or, like, you know, big laugh line there.
Wow.
After, oh, it was brutal.
Yamahama. I didn't even catch that.
It happened, yeah. Commentary. Not great. Ron Simmons versus David Isley. Simmons wins after some sort of, like, German suplex adjacent throw looking.
Yeah,
move?
It was like a German suplex, like late releasing belly to back. That, I don't know what it was.
You know, he tossed this guy around.
Mm-hmm.
Damn!
There's some more matches. I'm still talking.
Yeah.
They really like to pack them in on these WCW shows.
Boy, they sure do.
Larry Zbysko versus Cougar J.
Really cool name.
Really, really cool ring name.
Really
it's kind
cool
of a
name.
Theme of the night. These jobbers have really stepped it up in 1988.
Mm-hmm.
Larry wins with what Davy Crockett calls a good neck breaker.
Yep.
Thank you, David Crockett. The Lightning Express, Brad Armstrong and Tim Horner in there versus Trent Knight and Bob Riddle. Horner gets the pin after sort of an assisted leg drop.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Brad Armstrong picks him up and then throws him down into a leg drop. These guys, they're good at teamwork. The Warlord, he's in there against Larry Stevens.
Yes.
He wins it with a power slam. Still going.
Yeah,
Lex Luger's got a match. He's in there versus Curtis Thompson. This one's from a different venue.
Yeah.
We actually got some Bob Caudle and Jim Ross on commentary, but...
Bobby Caudle.
It was just another bait and switch because this one ended real quick.
Real quick.
Torture rack. They must have been killing time. I don't know. Episode came in a little short. What's the deal there? Dick Murdoch is in there versus Rick Nelson. He wins it after a stalling brainbuster. And then the Road Warriors, they jump a couple of jobbers, and they did it real quick. So quick that I couldn't even get the guys' names.
Nate Bullen and Dale Laparose.
All right. Checks out. Animal wins with the clothesline. Just like right away in like 4 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
These guys, they look like they just got pulled out of like a neighborhood bar. These two guys, they were the scrubbiest jobbers of the night by far. So I got to hand it to them. Is that the last match? No, there's one more.
One more.
We got our sheep herders, Luke and Butch, in there versus Mike Jackson and the Italian Stallion. Luke gets that pin after a double gut buster.
Oh, yeah.
Just two knees, yeah. Busting a gut.
Busting your guts.
Finally, thankfully, mercifully, we're done with the rundown.
Yeah.
That's all the matches.
It was awful.
There was 400 matches in a 90-minute show.
It was so bad. Every week.
Is that going to be all five of your things in this five count? It was so bad.
That's essentially.
Then they did another thing. It was bad, too.
Without giving everything away, yes. I mean, whoo, boy. Every week we say, like, ooh, this is the worst week.
First week of 1988 was a real breath of fresh air. Yeah. I thought we'd
and then we
really
got
turned a corner.
Fucking hoodwinked.
And
bamboozled.
Boom, right back to their old tricks, this World Championship Wrestling.
No reach around whatsoever. Just right in there.
Yeah, sure. My number one.
We got five on it.
My number one was just kind of be what we've already done, so I'll just get it out there right away. Just complaining that we're back in the studio.
Yeah.
Complaining that David Crockett's back as our host. Just officially to dig down into it a little deeper, another level. I'm going to say, just point out to who taught this moron how to fold a pocket square.
Oh.
Did you see this guy just have this, like, piece of cloth just crammed into his coat pocket?
No, I was too busy just hating everything that was coming out of his mouth.
Not folded like a nice little triangle or anything. It's just crammed in there, like poking out. Like, is this a rib? And they're letting him dress himself now?
I'm big boy.
The brothers are letting him pick out his own clothes now, I see. Bad idea. Bad idea, Crockett. You guys
Jim,
need to keep David on a short leash.
Jim, I got a pocket square, Jimmy.
You think this guy, like, who do you think his commentary, like, heroes are? The guys he really modeled himself after? Because it seems to me like pro golf.
Ooh.
Like, there's some legendary pro golf commentators. Probably David Crockett was a big fan of him.
Yeah.
Just whispers through matches.
If Jim Nance was a thing.
Acts like he doesn't want to, you know, distract any of the wrestlers in the ring.
They're all working diligently to get their powerful maneuvers.
Look at his hamstrings. Ooh, that's a good clothesline.
His arms are big. They're very, very big arms.
Luke with the putt.
Oh, God, I hate
Butch
this
gets
guy.
A birdie.
That just
sucks. He sucks so bad, man.
Like, as soon as I saw we were back in the studio and that Dave Crockett was there, it took everything not to tune out. I just knew I was in for just an hour and a half of wanting to blow my brains out. But I made it, you know?
Yeah, I can see. You're here in front of me, brains intact, which kudos to you.
Yeah. You as well, sir.
I don't know how well I'm doing.
Well.
I went on Mr. Toad's wild ride the last two nights.
That's on you, friend.
Drank all the alcohol in the Midwest.
Yeah, roughly.
Two nights in a row, man. I didn't want to drink that second night. I just got stuck somewhere. And there was nothing else to do. Snowed in. Downtown. None of the trains running.
What would Mean Gene Okerlund do?
Hold up in a Ric Flair-style hotel bar, and I just started pounding them, man.
Oh, you were living our hotel bar dream?
I did. I'm not going to talk about it. I'm going to be about it.
Okay.
I met a nice bartender named Meredith. Shout out to you.
What hotel?
She
can you say?
She bought me an old-fashioned.
Oh, nice.
I was there in the game room of the Chicago Athletics Association
Very
Hotel.
Very nice. Yeah, that's a nice
in
one.
Classic hotel bar fashion. They closed early.
Oh.
So then we moved down the street to old Miller's Pub. It's a great old man bar.
It is, yeah. Good food there.
A lot of paintings of drunks on the wall. It's
good food.
Yeah, I just drank a bunch of rye whiskey.
Oh.
Until literally, I don't remember anything. I woke up and there was peanut M&M wrappers all over the floor of this hotel room I was staying in.
Oh, wow.
I was just double fist pounding peanut M&Ms apparently at
Guy
four
who knows
in the
what
morning.
He wants.
Yeah.
That train comes off the rails. Only one thing that can get it back on. Peanut M&Ms.
He told me that the train was tangled up in the wires. And I was like, how would that happen? And they're like, we don't have any timetable on when this is going to get solved. So I just threw my hands up instantly and left. Everybody else was like still sitting there like they were going to be like, oh, yeah, let's...
You should have.
It's midnight. I'm sure if we just wait around, this train will... No, I guarantee you those people did not get home last night.
If there's one thing I know, you should have
just
taken...
drank like me dum-dums.
You should have taken the money train.
Oh, the money train.
Money train you can always
runs,
depend on.
Yeah. If I know anything about money trains, I know a lot because I've seen the movie Money Train. They do whatever they can to make sure that money train's running on time.
That's money train.
It's never going to be late.
It's money train.
Guarantee you wouldn't be like, oh, we have no timetable. If it was the money train, it'd be like, you find a way.
It's money train.
I don't care how many men have to die.
Because it's the money train.
This money train rolls in.
Money.
at 11:15
train
every night.
Money train.
In case anyone wants to rob it.
Yeah, money train.
Is that possible? Robbing the money train?
No, two guys thought it was.
Okay.
It's not.
I like my favorite part of that movie is when Woody Harrelson comes to wake up his brother Wesley Snipes in the morning in his apartment. And he's jumping on his bed and he's singing the song, "You gotta get up, you gotta get up, you gotta get up in the morning."
It's a good song.
Yeah, if I ever had to wake up my black brother, that's what I would sing to him.
Your black brother, Wayne Brady.
Oh, that would be a dream life I'm living.
Yep.
Just chuckling all day.
My favorite
is smirking and chuckling at all his little asides, his little zingers.
Jokes. My favorite is when Woody Harrelson's telling that old lady, like, "You got to know where your money is at all time." Mm-hmm. That's why I keep my money right here. And it was gone. He got it stolen. What a dumb.
Really, really irresponsible in that movie. Hilariously so.
Speaking of money, it brings me to my number one.
I mean, you don't want to talk about J-Lo's titties in that movie?
Well, yeah. That's titties, money. Man. That's money, sir. That is money.
They look great. Shout out to you, J-Lo.
Shout out to her panty butt shot in The Cell as well.
Okay, yeah.
Very underrated.
That's real good. And yeah, all of The Boy Next Door.
Ooh.
Just every frame of every The Boy Next Door. You were killing it in that movie, J-Lo.
Killing it, honey.
Where you going?
It's turkey time.
Huh?
Gobble, gobble.
Money. Back to money.
Okay. Back to wrestling.
This bunkhouse stampede?
Yeah.
I don't know
a lot of them.
What any of the rules are. I don't understand how it works. I don't understand if it's taking
place.
Well,
one of them was
going
a
to
battle royal within a steel cage. So it was just ending with Bobby Eaton trying to hoist Dusty Rhodes' fat ass and throw him over the top of a cage.
Like,
that's physically impossible, man.
They keep like alluding to like it taking place at the end of the month, but then they keep talking about it already happening.
See,
and I'm like,
what's happening is
it
they're
a tournament?
Having a series of bunkhouse stampedes all month.
And to the final
all the
bunkhouse
people who
stampede?
Win them get entered into the final bunkhouse stampede, which is happening at their bunkhouse stampede pay-per-view.
How many people are on their roster, man?
At this point, they've bought literally pretty much every other territory.
Yeah.
You know, George is gone, has been for a few years. They just got Mid-South, which was turned into the UWF.
Yeah,
they
UWF.
Got all that shit. They've got like five different fucking territories full of rosters.
It was so bad and so hard to watch and
they
so hard to understand.
Till the end of time.
They bring in this big old fat ass who got his leg broke.
No,
to
his
talk
name's
about,
Dusty Rhodes.
No, different fat ass.
Oh, that guy.
To talk about how brutal the match is.
Is the Mighty Wilbur.
Yeah, Mighty Wilbur.
He seemed like a nice guy.
He was a really nice guy. And like, if I had questions on like what kind of screws to use to put up new, you know, cabinets or something.
I could see him being very helpful working at a hardware store.
But
just like helping little old ladies figure out what they need to get. And it didn't strike me as much of a pro wrestler. I don't know. This guy's got
that's
a fire
the problem.
In his belly.
Right. He's laying there in the bed with his leg broken. He's like, yeah, it's a difficult match. I broke my leg.
As you can see.
You can see here. And then
my leg is no longer operational.
It's affected my hip as well. This match is a very.
How are you going to be able to pick up Dusty Rhodes' fat ass and throw him over the top of a steel cage with one wheel, man?
I'm just watching this and I'm like, I get it. You want to get over how brutal this is, but whose idea was it to let this guy talk for so long?
Well, you know,
it's just going on.
They were short on time. They had to throw in that Luger match. They
it was so bad.
Wrapped that guy's head up in gauze and made him pretend like he was in the hospital.
Like I said, and then they're like going on, like, I don't know. WWF does a good job of like promoting their, pimping their shit that's coming up. Like,
yeah,
you know what
shit.
You're getting.
Mm-hmm.
These guys, I had no idea what I was watching.
Well, it's, you know, it's more of a just sort of fly-by-night operation, but there's some pluses to that, you know. They're out there noodling and experimenting. It's like wrestling jazz down here in the South.
It's kind of what the fuck is going on.
You don't need all that structure. Let's just go out there and see what happens.
So, yeah, muddled nonsense and Fatty McBoring. That's my number one.
My number two is how cocky all these wrestlers were. Every single match, they're just, you know, I got like several of them put up. What was the first one? Sting. Sting's a good guy.
Yeah.
He's like the most white meat babyface on the roster. He's doing that thing where he's refusing to pin a guy who's beat, pulling him up at two
I
and being like, I want to beat his ass some more. That Midnight Express match. At one point, Bobby just beats a guy until he's like unconscious.
Yeah.
He could easily pin him. Instead, he drags him over to the corner, makes him tag his guy out. And then he starts beating up that guy.
I noticed that too. It's like, why did he... Yeah, just finish.
Nobody's trying to win these matches.
Somebody stop the damn match.
Ron Simmons' whole match, people talk about no-selling. That guy no-sold. These internet dorks like to throw this shit around. Fuck no-selling. He wasn't even registering.
No.
This guy, every time this guy just hit him,
he just looked blankly back at him.
Not moving. Not just acknowledging he's been hit at all, just pretending like I was just hit with a fake punch. And yeah. This is what would happen only if you were hit with a fake punch. What's the deal here? These guys don't understand that, like, if you make these jobbers look like nothing nobodies, then essentially you beat a nothing nobody and it's pointless?
Yep.
You gotta have some drama in these matches, man. And at least make me think a little bit that they can win. Or, like, goddamn, these guys are pretty tough. That's how they became wrestlers, but... I'm the toughest, so I beat him.
Goddamn,
pal. They're just essentially acknowledging, like, these guys are fucking fat, weird-looking losers that, you know, like I said, look like they got drug out of a neighborhood bar, and they don't belong in the ring.
Yeah.
That's another thing you'll never get up there in that WWF, just complete, I mean, they've got scrubs, but, you know, not complete and total scrubs where you're just like, why is this guy in the wrestling business?
Who thought this would be a good idea?
Everybody's just cocky as shit.
Yeah.
Just making these jobbers look like nobodies. It was pissing me off, man.
Absolute nobodies.
Wanted to get this whole locker room together and just lecture them, you know? All right, boys.
Get your shit together!
Everybody, grab a knee. Everybody grab a knee. We gotta talk. That's how I would start it. I think I'd be a pretty good coach.
You just got your asses whipped by a bunch of nerds!
John Goodman, maybe... looks more like a coach than anybody ever in film history.
Now, I don't know about you, but I would want to redeem myself in the eyes of my father, in the eyes of my maker.
Very inspiring speech. A lot of people talk about like that movie, like, if you watch it these days, there's a lot of offensive stuff in
there. No, that movie's great.
But no, the 80s, Revenge of the Nerds, that's when politics were figured out. That's when our culture was at its peak.
Yeah.
You get him just like talking about like fat ladies being oinkers and that rape happens at the end. Like, I had enough of all this crybaby, you know, gender shit going on. Let's go back to Revenge of the Nerds.
Yeah.
When men were fat like John Goodman and it was cool, but women weren't allowed to be.
No.
Dawson, Dudley.
Call me Booger.
All right. Booger. Raheem.
Excuse, please, but why do they call you Booger?
I don't know.
You got a number two?
I do.
Did we do a number two? Okay. Yeah, okay.
I think so.
Well, let's do it. Let's get
it. Ronnie Simmons versus David Isley.
Okay. That whole match where he just threw him over and over again and then...
Well, I was watching him and I'm like, man...
Ignored all of the offense that was coming his way?
I had a lot of thoughts in this match.
Mm-hmm.
It started off like watching Simmons and... Again, I'm not very familiar with early Ron Simmons, just his APA days, really.
Thick as a brick, brother.
And yeah, I was like, ooh, this is a big boy here. And he's doing his thing. And I'm like, man, he can go. He's doing his thing.
He's looking effortless.
He's looking good. And then the match keeps going. And I'm like, yeah, the match just keeps going.
Threw him again.
Just threw him again.
There's another suplex.
There's more slams.
Threw him again.
More slams.
Stop it. He's already dead.
Pretty much, yeah. But what really got to me was it was a long match, wouldn't you say, by WCW standards?
Yeah.
They spent 3/4 of that match talking about Arn Anderson and Lex Luger.
Well, you know, they're big stars. Big stars in this company. You got to get over your guys. And,
Last time we talked WCW,
that's the first thing we see this episode is a revisit of that Luger Anderson Tully brawl from
that
last
big
week.
Old pull apart.
So that's what they were talking about during this Ron Simmons match.
I guess so. I don't even remember. I just know that they just kept talking about Arn and Lex.
This is gonna bring it up. What's his fuck? David Crockett.
Yeah,
did say during this match, you know, this guy Ron Simmons hasn't been handed anything. This guy's fought for everything he's got. His entire life he's been fighting. And I was like, David Crockett, did you just try to, like, flesh out somebody's character and, like, put over who they are? Good for you, man.
That's just because
that's the first time I've ever heard him even attempt to do something like that.
He felt bad about not talking about him for, like, 15 minutes.
Oh, yeah. We were supposed to say all this stuff during the Lex Luger match.
I forgot about Ron. So they're wrestling, and it's just Arn and Lex. We were just talking 2 weeks ago about how great it was with Jim Ross.
Oh, yeah.
Giving you, like,
by God,
backstory on guys, like why they fight the way they fight, this, that, the other thing. And then this week we get...
You got Jim Ross on your roster.
Dave Crockett.
It's time to tell your little brother, sorry, you don't get to be our commentator anymore.
So...
We let you do it for a few years, but now we got somebody who's really good at it. So you got to just step back.
They finally finished talking about Arn Anderson and Lex Luger.
Mm-hmm.
And no joke, I brought the little timer up on the screen.
Yeah.
And paid attention.
Technology. You can do so much these days.
They stopped talking about Arn and Lex. 20 solid seconds of dead silence, which on live TV seemed like a lifetime.
Well, I mean, the alternative was more David Crockett talking, so, you know,
well,
count your blessings, man.
They give us all that Arn and Lex. They give us 20 seconds of silence. Ron Simmons hits a big old suplex.
Another one?
And Dave Crockett comes in with, look at Ron Simmons.
You said it, man.
That's it, man.
You said it.
Look at Ron Simmons.
Damn!
And then they just go on to give him their vague, half-hearted compliments that you could just say about anybody. Like the whole heart thing and nothing's handed and blah, blah, blah.
He's fought his whole life, man. That sounded like some just like hidden racism going on. Just like trying to like paint this guy as being like some sort of street thug a little bit. Some undertones. I was like, this man played pro football, didn't he? Come on.
Yeah.
At least high-end college football.
Yeah, he goes on to
He's
talk about
hurting.
It.
He's not hurting.
Yeah, he talks about
this guy's
it
not out there hurting.
Later on after the match. It's just garbage. It's garbage. What do you got? Give me a three.
Number three, I want to talk a little bit about that Nikita Koloff match. Not because I cared about the match at all, but because Nikita Koloff is wearing his classic, singlet. You know, the bottoms, though, are just kind of like brief bottoms. They're not like that, like sort of like longer, like boxer short, you know, bottoms like an Owen Hart would wear later in his career or something. So, like, you know.
I know what you speak of.
Nikita Koloff's got full-on just pubes coming out of both sides of those.
Does he?
Yeah, I thought... Ooh. Thought to myself, how would you describe this? And I came up with the word scrote burns. So I just wanted that to be my number three. I thought that was a pretty good word.
Scrote burns.
He had a serious pair of scrote burns going on. Anytime he'd take a back bump, he'd just be like, ugh, he's a Russian bear, I'll tell you that much.
Wow.
Right there. He's got a lot going on down there. These pro wrestlers, they're known for their manscaping. What's going on there, Nikita Koloff? Trim your fucking ball hair, dude.
Not Nikita.
This is national television you're going out on. I don't want to look at your pubes. This is worse than Hacksaw Jim Duggan's constant visible dong.
Well,
put on a jockstrap, Jim Duggan.
Full bush, man.
Nikita Koloff, trim your pubes.
Full bush.
Yeah. Well, you know, I like it on the ladies, not on my men, though.
Oh, that's fair.
I want my men to be smooth. And baby oiled.
Oh, yeah. Smooth, smooth, smooth jazz.
Speaking of smooth ladies, there's one. There's one coming through the door right now.
BB, BB. So that's your three.
That's my three.
I got a three.
Hi, welcome
home. We're going to go with Larry Zbyszko.
The Z-Man.
Versus
no, that's Tom Zink.
Cougar J.
Zbyszko versus Cougar J. Okay, let's get into it. There's a lot to talk about here.
So much to talk about. Is this the point where I just completely lose my mind? No, I'm still
this
trying to...
This is the point where all those... I think there was probably a cheerleading squad in the audience, and they were doing a lot of chants.
Yeah, I got that going on.
A lot of
here.
Female voices chanting, and this is where they really got out of hand with their chanting and really got on my nerves.
It's a very good point. There were some randy females in the audience, I noticed.
I literally think there was a cheerleading squad. They were doing full-on cheerleading chants.
Anytime there was, like, a super jacked-up dude in the ring, they were hot with the catcalls.
Them and me both.
They were,
except for that mishap with Nikita's pubic hair.
Well, yeah, absolutely.
Rightly
absolutely
put off at that moment.
But as you said, the crowd was in full effect for this one. Nice Zbyszko is a wimp chant.
Zbyszko is a wimp! Zbyszko is a wimp! That's
those southern accents.
That could only happen in the 1980s. What a lame chant.
Larry?
A good, like, what, 8 years away from everybody chanting asshole at Vince McMahon? Zbyszko is a wimp is the best they got these days. I guess the crowds just vary so much. We got that horrible, horrible, like, faggot chant like a couple weeks ago. That's pretty stiffsky, man. And then this crowd is just chanting Zbyszko is a wimp.
Yeah, they're only letting in families here.
Yeah, a lot of... I think, like, the crowd was mostly old people, from what I could tell.
Yeah.
It was, like, that one group of cheerleaders, and then just, like, all people in their 70s. 80s wrestling crowds are weird.
Yeah, especially in the South. Especially in the South. Larry Zbyszko really reminds me of Jim Belushi.
Oh, yeah. He's got a lot of Jim Belushi going on. And, you know, I think we can all agree... Jim Belushi's pretty cool.
Oh, so the coolest.
That's good for Larry Zbyszko. The coolest.
So I just keep watching him, thinking about Jim Belushi.
Bringing back his Spudheads catchphrase again.
Oh, hell yeah, you gotta.
Pretty good.
I just watching him, just thinking, what's the point of this guy?
He had one big main event feud in the AWA, from what I remember, and then just kind of talked about
against who?
The entire rest of his career.
Against who?
And I think was just riding that momentum just for decades.
It's just...
Eventually got himself that cushy commentator job in the Nitro era. I gotta say, he's still getting a lot of chants in the 90s. Somebody must have liked him. Somebody must have been watching
Nitro.
This 80s shit. They used to chant his name every goddamn Nitro. And I'd always be sitting there like, there's Zbyszko's boring.
Why are y'all so happy to see him?
Ugh.
I'm gonna say it though, Baby Doll... looked great in this
match.
That's
my next one.
Let's talk about it.
You know, Baby Doll, she's wearing an outfit. It's actually flattering to her figure. Yeah. It makes her look like she's proportioned like a woman. She's not just all like shoulders.
She looked thin. I figured it was cocaine.
Usually it's just haunches when I'm looking at her. I'm just like, whew, look at all those haunches. She looked real good. I was also thinking, look at her teeth, man. This is the 80s. Everybody's got yellow teeth. There wasn't teeth whitening back then. Mm-hmm. Her teeth were bright-ass white.
Ooh.
What was that chick doing to her teeth back then?
Did she
have secrets?
Cocaine. Just left on her teeth. Dried to her teeth.
Help your... Oh, okay.
White just, cocaine literally dried to her teeth.
Coated in cocaine?
Yeah.
That's one theory.
Explain the weight loss.
But Baby Doll, you know, she's...
Her face even looked...
She's a favorite of ours here. And sometimes, you know, we give it to her a little rough. She's usually looking pretty rough.
She likes it a little
rough.
I'm
going to say, they call her the perfect 10. She's not that. But she's a solid 7 this episode.
Really? Yeah.
You give her a solid 7
this
episode.
High 6, low 7, yeah.
Yeah, there you go.
I noticed her dead eyes, of course, in the interview.
Oh, yeah, that's not going anywhere.
But then
That's never changing.
I looked down from the dead eyes, and I thought to myself...
Hey, my dead eyes are up here, buddy.
Well, yeah. But I thought her face looked a little clear. I don't know if somebody... bought her some Maybelline or
could be
something.
Maybe, she's got a sister who like got a job at the department store or something. So they're getting a lot of free products now.
She graduated that cosmetology school.
She's bringing home some makeup. She's giving her some skin cleanser. Things are really turning around in 1988 for the Perfect 10 Baby Doll.
She looked nice.
Baby Doll. That's number 4, I think. Are we at 4 already?
Yeah, because here's my 4.
Oh, wow. We're really flying through this.
Well, good. We can talk about other stuff. My number 4. This is when I officially went off the rails.
Yeah.
Lightning Express versus Trent Knight and Bob Riddle.
Okay.
And I get it. Lightning Express was a real team and this and that, but...
Sure.
This is the third Express team they have on their fucking show.
Uh-huh.
Who's running this shit? Who?
At this point in 1988, I think Dusty's booking. Ooh. So, yeah, we put all the blame on Dusty Rhodes.
We got Rock and Roll
the
Express,
feet of the dream.
Daddy. We got
feet
Midnight Express, Daddy.
Yeah,
we
get
got
it. The
Lightning
Rock and Roll
Express,
and the Midnights,
Daddy.
They're both named an Express, and they're always feuding with each other. Yeah. It's sort of like a Ken and Ryu type situation a little bit.
Okay,
that makes
that
a lot
works.
Of sense. If you throw a third Express in there,
why?
Yeah, it's starting to make... no sense there. You're diluting the whole Express thing. Not everybody can be an Express man.
It reminded me of when we watched that pay-per-view and everybody was blading.
Every
that Super Bowl.
Match.
Super Bowl?
Yeah.
Super Bowl.
That's what they called it.
That's Super Bowl.
Talking about the Gathering.
Yeah.
Starcade.
Starcade. Starcade Super Bowl. You know it all.
Mm-hmm.
But everybody's going out there blading, going into business for themselves, and everybody's having the same finish. Like, that's how I felt watching this. Letting
two nature boys be on the roster at the same
time.
Right,
it's like, who...
Can't have two people with the same name doing the same gimmick one roster.
I get it. It's annoying where, you know, everything has to be run past Vince McMahon in WWE. Oh, yeah.
That's got to be real annoying.
Like, yeah, that's got to be awful. But at the same time, they could have used a little bit of that in their product. Nice. Just somebody to, like, just be like,
could have used quite a bit of it.
Hey, we already did that, you know? These guys go out there, Lightning Express.
One constant all throughout. What's sort that? Of the Jim Crockett Promotions transition into WCW all the way to the end. It's that just simple shit that could have been like fixed by one guy looking over the card and being like, there's too much of this.
Yeah.
Can't do that. Just like making sure the same shit isn't happening over and over again, making sure people aren't doing the same shit, just a little bit of quality control, and they would have been 10 times better, but they never did it. That's the one constant.
They couldn't be bothered.
Just in no era of this entire company's history was there ever like a period where it was like, hey, they seem to be organized now. Somebody's really paying attention to this.
Combing through what's going on.
Nope.
No, not even a
beautiful
little.
Beautiful chaos.
So Lightning Express is in the
Jazz,
ring.
Jazz, Daddy.
They got these two
bebopping
jobbers,
scatting all around that ring.
Trent Knight and Bob Riddle, which, you know, no big deal, except for the fact that one of these morons is dressed identical to the Lightning Express.
Yeah, yeah, got that same.
So now you got three guys wearing the same shit.
Red trunks.
And they're rolling around, and you can't tell who the fuck suits. Everybody's got a
bunch
long
of
mullet.
Short-haired, hillbilly-looking white guys all wearing the exact same tights.
They got that, oh, man, business in the front, party in the back, and then they're all wearing the same tights and boots.
You got to have at least one team in those home whites. God.
Brad Armstrong and Tim Horner.
White Lightning, Tim
They both
Horner.
Have the Lightning on their boots,
mm-hmm.
but they're Lightning Express.
Yeah.
So they'd both be Lightning. Right? Well, they both have Lightning on the boots.
The White Lightning was Tim Horner's name, and then he got stuck with Armstrong. So they're like, let's just sort of, you know, go off of that, expand this a little bit. We're the Lightning Express.
Well, they both got
that
Lightning
way we
on
don't
their...
gotta come up with a nickname for Brad Armstrong.
They both he got Lightning on too. Their boots. Put
That's because they're quick like Lightning, man.
That's fine. But don't have Tim Horner have Lightning on his trunks, and then Brad has BA on his. Have them both have letters, or have them both have Lightning bolts.
Well, I mean, you know, that's a little attention to detail type things that I really love about tag team wrestling when you get those matching outfits and stuff.
Just
bedazzled jackets that are, look at us, we got our team jackets. But, you know, it's the little touches that weren't getting done in WCW. You got to put this on the head of Brad Armstrong and Tim Horner, man.
Yeah.
They're buying their gear. They need to think about this shit.
There was a really bad blown rope spot in this match.
What happened?
I don't know. Someone was running the ropes and just kind of stopped and ran into somebody.
One of those jobbers?
Yeah. It was really bush looking.
It had a really good David Crockett line here on commentary. At one point, Lightning Express, they got a real, like, sort of, Sean and Marty type offense going on where they're doing a lot of synchronized shit at the same time. Double team moves like that. At one point, they hit a double clothesline.
Oh, I got this one too.
David Crockett calls it by saying, double clothesline. Ho! What a way to make a living.
No, no, no. The noise was double clothesline. Oh! What a way to make a living.
What a way to make a living. That's a weird call.
What was the noise?
I don't know.
Ho!
What's so crazy about a double clothesline?
What a way to make a living. And right before that, out of nowhere, he says, Hot Stuff has a surprise for us in a few weeks.
Okay. Tell me more.
No, he didn't.
Nope.
No.
Just left that hanging out there?
Randomly talked about Eddie Gilbert for 5 seconds.
Okay.
And then double clothesline. Oh, what a way to make a living.
It's a good thing about David Crockett. You never got to wonder what he's thinking, because usually it's nothing.
Mm-hmm.
But if a thought goes through his head, he's going to say it out loud.
Oh, it's a coming.
He's going to say it out loud.
You got a five.
Yeah, my number five is that David Crockett did one good call. In that Dick Murdoch match, he actually made me laugh. The way he sold the line, Dick Murdoch will do anything for money. He was super grossed out, and just like disgusted by Dick Murdoch, and I'm like, he's doing a good job of putting over, like, he was real exasperated when you had to interview him that last episode.
Yeah, he does a real
this
good
one,
job.
He's just grossed out
showing
by
hate for
what
Dick
a sleazebag Dick Murdoch is. And I was like, you know, I'm giving some props to Baby Doll. She looked like a solid 7 this episode. I gotta give some props to David Crockett too, because he's the other guy I'm always ragging on.
Yeah,
I like what he's doing for Dick Murdoch. He's really putting over this guy as just a sleazy, disgusting, despicable human being.
It's like when Michael Cole really got the Miz over for a while.
Did he?
I don't remember the Miz ever being over. Hating on the Miz so hard. Like, oh, I can't stand anything this guy's doing. It was the one time like Cole sounded believable.
He's probably just repeating all the shit Vince was saying in his earpiece.
Well, yeah.
Bury this loser.
Bury
him. God, look at him. He's such a wimp.
But they got him over as a bad guy. But yeah, Dave Crockett, very similar in his approach with Dick Murdoch. He just lets him have it.
Good work, David.
Yeah.
Like, you're not completely useless just 99% of the time.
Yeah. My final thought that I liked was that quick little throwaway Lex Luger match.
It was quick. I'll give it that.
Yeah.
That's something to like.
I just liked it because it wasn't in that stupid studio. And
yeah, they got a...
It was nice.
Don't they just realize, looking like the last episode was at a real live event, we got this one match from a real live event, and it just makes it seem so much more important.
Yeah.
The crowds are bigger. Like, just you get Jim Ross out there doing commentary. It sounds a lot more professional. Aren't they watching their own shows and like realizing, hey, we should do it this way? Because it's always a lot better.
I was ready to just pause it and take a nap because I couldn't make it any longer. And then they cut to that arena and Lex Luger, and I got excited for 5 seconds. I was like, oh, that was fun. That was fun to watch.
You do get like more of the crowd when you're in the tiny studio, though, which is nice.
Yeah,
like, that's true. It was all just in a big arena. Would I have been able to single out the tiny little girl in a pink shirt just angrily chanting USA at the sheepherders? Because I loved her. She was like 6, and she had the meanest look on her face, and she hates foreigners.
Oh, yeah, well, it's the South, man.
Teaching them young down there.
You want to talk about Johnny Ace real quick?
Why was Johnny Ace with the sheepherders?
Why, indeed.
He had a pretty cool mustache.
He looked awesome.
Yeah, he did look awesome. Got like, a young Johnny Ace being a anti-American valet for the sheepherders?
He has no idea why
What's
he's
the
there.
Story here?
The sheepherders have no idea why he's there. The sheepherders like never acknowledge him. It's like he was like MTV's
standing
buzzkill.
Standing behind them, just holding up a New Zealand
flag. He
was
pranking them. He just snuck in there. Nobody even knew.
He's a cool dude.
His hat looked cool.
He's a dynamic dude.
Mustache looked cool.
Yeah, I didn't know that.
He was like hiding behind that flag and like peeking out from it.
I didn't know you got some Johnny Ace in 1988. I thought the earliest shit I remembered from him was him and Shane Douglas carrying those skateboards to the ring. I was a big fan of that shit when I was a kid.
Yeah, it's a cool gimmick.
Get a lot of crap for that dynamic dudes gimmick. I gotta say, worked on me.
Yeah, super cool.
These guys carrying skateboards. Seems awesome.
Well, that wraps it up for another exciting week in WCW.
I really, really hope next episode's better than this.
Yeah, I hope it's in an arena again.
We're really putting ourselves through a lot.
Yeah.
There's no reason for us to do this to ourselves, man.
No. No.
Let's take a break and think about what we've done.
Think about what we could have done.
What could we have done?
Let's probably just drink some more.
We should probably do a podcast about something more important than pro wrestling, 80s pro wrestling. There's a lot of bad stuff going out there in the world, man. Maybe we should talk about hunger or something. Podcast about world hunger.
I got you.
Yeah.
We do a podcast about that 90s hit show, Roller Jam.
Okay.
That was Roller Jam, right?
Yeah, I could see. Maybe.
It's on Fox.
We could expand this a little bit to extinct sports.
Ooh.
We get a little slam ball in there we talk about.
No, I love slam ball.
Roller Jam.
So, they had a video game.
I could see this doing good things for the people out there.
Big numbers.
Could turn our lives around and make them more meaningful.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe we'll just keep wasting our time with this 80s pro wrestling thing. We've already dug ourselves a pretty deep hole.
Probably.
Okay, when we come back, it's going to be a 3 count.
3 count.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
There's a cereal in the neighborhood. New Slimer Ghosts, fruit-flavored oats. Ghostbusters with the milk and juice and toast. A complete breakfast with the ghost.
Ghostbusters!
I told you!
first cereal box that glows in the dark. With four glow-in-the-dark Ghostbuster trading cards.
Primer.
You gotta have it.
Ghostbusters!
The first cereal box that glows in the dark.
It's an alien.
No kidding. Where?
It's living in America.
I like what they've done with the place.
It loves cats.
Can't get enough of them.
It's Alf, and now it's everywhere.
He's debonair, and yet fuzzy.
My parents just don't understand our relationship.
I mean, this whole cat thing's been blown all out of proportion.
Alf.
Alf, alien life form new from Coleco.
Do you have to? Do you have to? Do you have to let it three count?
In your head.
Yeah, I didn't know which song or Cranberry song.
Count. Three count. Yeah, I guess put a date stamp on when we're recording this. Bad news this morning when we woke up.
Mm-hmm.
That chick from the Cranberries died, man.
Dolores?
Something Dorothy? Like that.
She had some kind of Irish name.
Mulva?
Somebody in their band was named Fergal.
Oh, that makes a lot of sense.
They had like Bill and Mike Hogan.
There's a lot of trashy Irish people named that.
Her name is like Dorothy or Dolores O'Halloran or something
like that.
Irish like that. And then they had like Mike and Bill Hogan, which is also super Irish. And then they had another guy that was like Fergal something crazy made up Irish last name.
Funnily enough, a lot of people don't know this. It was Fergal Devitt Sr. It's Finn Balor's dad.
Oh,
was
he
in
was
the Cranberries.
Oh,
yeah.
He was the bass player. Wow.
Yeah. It's just a little
did not realize
out there. Yeah, I gotta say though, that Dolores, whatever her name is.
Yeah.
Her voice, man. You hear that shit? It's like you're listening to the 90s.
Yeah, it is pretty cool.
That chick, she was the 90s.
She was. She was
all over that My So-Called Life soundtrack. That shit, like a whole generation of little weird flannel wearing kids.
I saw them
watched that shit and were like, oh man, I'm so like Claire Danes.
I saw them live at the New World Music Theater.
Okay.
Opening act was Collective Soul.
I gotta call that a double bill. When you're Collective Soul, you're not opening for anybody.
They were opening, man.
No way.
They weren't
no
quite
way.
Huge.
I'm not
or maybe they
that.
Were already not popular anymore. I don't remember.
There's never a time when that was true, so
either way,
didn't happen.
Cranberries were delightful.
Yeah, but Collective Soul, though, I bet
show.
They fucking ripped.
Well,
I bet they were awesome. What was their best song?
All of them.
That night?
Just all of them?
Yeah, I couldn't pick a favorite either.
Yeah, love all the Collective Soul works. December, the other songs.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure they have names. You know them. You know them, so I don't need to say them.
Did they do Counting Blue Cars?
No, that's Dishwalla.
Dishwalla?
Tell me all
okay.
Your thoughts on God.
They're not
really
Soul Asylum.
Her. No.
I know
they
most
had,
of Soul Asylum songs. Collective Soul is a different band.
Wah-hung,
I'm
wah-hung,
fairly certain.
Wah-hung, come together now, Jill.
Oh, wow.
That was the name
good.
Of that song.
We'll
make a Jill.
I knew I liked Collective Soul.
They had that December.
Guy from Collective Soul didn't die, did he?
Don't think about. Don't.
Turn away, just scream me out.
And then they had.
So good.
What was the other one? Oh, because it's the world I know.
What if there was like a.
And I walked upon the
like
edge.
A horror movie curse, and like all the people that you saw live at the New World Theater started dying one by one, and then you had to like start investigating why this was going to happen. And then you had to like try and track down this lead singer of Dishwalla and like
I told you.
Warn him.
I told you earlier.
It was coming.
I told you earlier. I saw the Monkees.
Yeah.
And then Dave Jones
died
right after that.
We
also saw who's
this is
the
spec script in the making right
who's
here.
Who's the disco singer that sings that last dance for love? Is that Donna Summers?
Disco sucks, man.
I think it was
I don't
Donna
know
Summers.
About disco.
We saw her. She died like a month later. So I'm already living it, bro.
Who's
you didn't
next?
Even know.
Who's next?
God.
We got to get an email out there, man. We got to warn them.
Good thing I didn't go see Gallagher at the Star Plaza.
I saw Gallagher at the Star Plaza. Like, not his show. I just saw him.
You just saw him there.
Just looking haggard at like 8 in the morning there once, coming down for coffee. I was like 6, and I was like, ooh, rough night, Gallagher. I didn't really say that. Yeah. I was just like, oh shit, that's Gallagher.
That's cool that you knew who he was when you were six, you weirdo.
What do you mean, weirdo? Every little kid loves Gallagher. He smashes fruit with a hammer.
Yeah, I guess so.
He's a fucking legend.
Yeah, he was pretty cool.
He had a thing where he had that trampoline inside that big couch, and he was jumping around on that couch. That was a lot of fun.
Oh, yeah. What a weird guy.
I was watching a lot of, I think maybe probably like 40% of my time in my childhood was spent just watching Gallagher's stand-up routines on Comedy Central.
Didn't he have like a brother that like tried to steal his gimmick?
Yeah, Gallagher too.
Oh God, what a weird
He didn't try
story.
To steal it. He stole it. Whole That's hog.
Cool. That's pretty cool.
Guy called himself Gallagher too and was smashing fruit with a hammer.
That's a pretty cool thing to do, I guess.
Well, you know, made one guy rich. I don't see why I wouldn't make
Yeah, share the Gallagher wealth. Maybe if you'd show up at Christmas with some hundreds in your pocket.
Did you ever hear that?
Brother wouldn't have to steal your bit.
Interview Mark Maron did with him. It was real awkward.
With Gallagher or
yeah,
Gallagher 2?
Gallagher, the original.
No.
OG Gallagher, Gallagher Classic. It was real good. Like, Gallagher was just, like, saying some racist shit.
Ugh.
And, like, Mark Maron was kind of just like, don't you think you're a little bit racist? And, like, Gallagher's just, like, got pissy and, like, stormed out. It was just real tense and awkward. Eventually, Gallagher stormed out. I suggest looking it up. It's a dynamite little listen.
Don't you think you're being racist? How dare you?
Mm-hmm.
I'm out of here.
The three count.
Yeah.
It's a thing we do where we make a list of three things.
Today's Thursday,
it's a pun
the whatever.
Because three count is also how you pin someone to you in wrestling. And we talk about wrestling.
I just got that.
So, it's a pretty clever thing.
Mm-hmm.
What's our topic this week, man? What are we doing?
There's a big thing coming up in the world of wrestling.
Boy, is there. I don't think we need to tell all you.
25
years of Raw.
Awful
We're about
years
to celebrate it.
Of Monday Night Raw.
A lot of time, man.
It's just 25 years, yeah.
How many hours in total of that? You know there's people out there that have seen every single episode of Raw that's ever aired.
Yeah.
Like a lot of them.
Yeah.
And they're on the internet and they will argue with you about pro wrestling. Just imagine 25 years of life wasted watching all that Monday Night Raw.
I know I've lost a lot.
25 years ago does not quite get us to the 80s, and we are an 80s podcast.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, we got to throw Raw some love, so let's put our own little spin on this. 80s pro wrestlers.
What?
Who transitioned into the Raw era? Who?
What?
You know, a lot of guys, they faded away after the 80s. The 80s was their time, and they just didn't fit in that 90s shit, that new generation Vince was doing, but a couple guys did. We're going to talk about 80s guys
who
thrived on Monday Night Raw once that shit started up 25 years ago and changed the world of wrestling as we knew it.
That's wild.
So, what do you think? Who's your number three?
My number three, he came around in the late 80s.
Real excited to hear about him.
He's in the,
I bet he's going to be so cool. He's such a cool guy.
Late 80s. Had a little cup of coffee with the WWF, but he was under a hood.
Okay.
He'd come down from the Great White North.
Canada?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
His brother got him a job, but he left, you see.
Oh, I see where we're
after
going.
After limited success and came back real quick after working for the competition down south. And he came back without the mask. He came back as himself, talking about the Rocket. Owen Hart.
The Black Heart? Owen Hart?
Yeah.
The King of Hearts?
Yeah, that's my point.
Okay.
Everything you're getting to there. He was the Rocket. He was the Black Heart.
Sure was.
He was the King of Hearts. He was not a nugget.
One half of high energy.
He was the guy, man. Owen Hart made himself relevant from all those years. From when he came back to WWF to when he unfortunately passed away in 99. He was always in the mix, man. You got to have a solid foil for your story in your program, whatever. And he was,
I agree.
He was your solid bad guy. Just
in Brett shit.
Mid-card, you could elevate him to the top of the card if you needed to. He could do whatever he asked. You needed
it?
A bad
what
guy,
was it? WrestleMania
he could be the 10? Bad guy.
He had that match with Brett. That's one of the best WrestleMania matches of all time. I'm putting it out there right now. Then he got to like main event SummerSlam or something against him too.
Yeah, big feud.
That cage
with
match
Brett.
That was great.
Yeah,
1980s. You know they were using him as a jobber. He was like a blue blazer. He was doing nothing.
Yeah, and then they figured it out with him.
This
man.
Is a great pick. Such a great pick. It was one of my three as well.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're holding hands here on this Owen Hart list.
He just, he was a workhorse, man.
New generation. Owen Hart was from the old generation.
Yeah.
But he was able to change it up.
Yeah, he always found a way to make himself relevant, to keep with what was going on, whether it was, you know, he was in the Nation of Domination, all of it.
This Hart Foundation thing's over. Your brother's gone. Mm-hmm. We don't really have much for you to do. I don't know where you're going to fit in. And he's like, no problem. I'll just be a black guy.
Damn!
Yeah.
It's cool.
Just slide me right in there.
So, and then he was. And nobody questioned it. It was just like, oh, you're going to join that group of black militants? Fine. I mean,
yeah.
Just
get on in there.
Start wearing singlets that look like a street sign for some reason.
Yeah. Caution.
I got no problems. I'll always watch an Owen Hart match.
Yeah. He even made Jeff Jarrett palatable.
Mm. Yeah, that's true. That's maybe the only time. No, there's been. I was gonna say maybe the only time I've ever not hated Jeff Jarrett when he had that sweet tag team going with Owen Hart. It really worked out well as a tag team because Jeff Jarrett was going nowhere at that point.
Yeah,
really revitalized. But yeah, I gotta say, WCW era saying slap nuts all the time.
Slap
Jeff
nuts.
Jarrett, I also really liked, and
precursor to what would happen in TNA.
Also. His MMA double J period in TNA when he was feuding with Kurt Angle and he was just doing all those videos of him beating up little kids in karate class.
That's good stuff.
That shit was real good.
Yeah.
I think there was three times in his career when I didn't hate Jeff Jarrett.
Yeah.
All the other time, though, like literally everything else he ever did, terrible.
Jeff Jarrett was garbage doing nothing and Owen made him relevant just by tagging with him.
Yeah, you could throw him in anywhere. He's sort of like a wrestler ketchup. Just
feuded with Austin.
Put that garnish.
It's Austin's fault that his neck got broke. That wasn't Owen's heart. Owen's fault.
It's not ballet, Matt.
Yeah.
They're not doing ballet out here.
No. It's like a demolition derby. Only they're using their bodies instead of cars.
I'm gonna call that my number three. I think like if I was ranking him officially, he was gonna be like my number two.
Yeah.
But we'll just call him three so we can get it all over with.
Yeah, there's no real rank.
It doesn't
completely matter.
Move back in. Now we'll do a number two.
Number two?
You got another number two? If we just pick the same three guys, this is going to be real quick. We'll get this all done quick.
Maybe, I don't know. Second guy.
Uh-huh.
It's going to be his third week on the three count.
Oh, wow.
You put him there twice. I'll put him there a third.
This is a real streak. I think this might be a
streak.
He's got a streak going.
Never.
This is definitely a record.
Never was a huge fan of him, but he was the one constant in all of Monday Night Raw.
Building him up there a second. Now we're really tearing him down.
No, I'm just not a fan personally, but...
Okay, well,
you know.
Things are getting personal.
But he was always there. You know, I love me some Shawn Michaels, but, you know, he lost his smile and found Jesus and had all sorts of weird things.
I gotta say, I liked him better before he found Jesus.
Oh, hell yeah, yeah.
What's the deal with that,
man? That was a lot of fun.
You were such a prima donna.
Yeah.
People loved you for it.
You had Bret Hart, who was carrying your company
cocky
for a minute, and then he disappeared.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Stone Cold and Rock later on, but through it all, the dead man, Undertaker.
Undertaker?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, he makes
He's
a lot
the guy.
Of sense.
He was always there.
And, when did he debut? It was pre-Raw,
mm-hmm.
So I don't think this kind of counts.
Yeah, Survivor Series.
1991, I'm saying. Yeah he gets in there and... You know, he changed up just enough as time went on to stay relevant. He's kind of like
cartoony when he
the
debuted.
Madonna of professional wrestling.
Yeah.
He's always just reinventing himself.
Yeah.
But I think that's a strong pick.
Thank you, sir.
Yeah.
You got a two?
I got a two.
The
guy was wrestling all through the 80s, but nobody really cared. He's always around. They'd stick him in teams, stick him in a stable. Solid mid-card guy, solid worker, but just kind of boring. No real character, no nothing. And then the Raw era comes around, and you put him in a pair of glasses and a pair of suspenders, and suddenly he's Irwin R. Shyster. Mike Rotunda.
I grappled with
80s
that.
Stalwart. Nobody really cares. But then they give him a real bad, dumb gimmick, Irwin R. Shyster, the tax man, and somehow he got it over huge. And now you think Mike Rotunda is like, oh, IRS, Irwin R. Shyster. Everybody knows him. Everybody remembers him. He got to beat Hulk Hogan at WrestleMania. Money Inc. took down Hogan and Brother Brutai. That's a pretty big thing. And if you ever, you know, bring him Mike Rotunda to one of these Legends events or whatever. Like, he's going in there as IRS.
Oh,
that's
yeah.
what he's banking on. He's trying to, like, sell autographs as IRS and shit, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah.
And this is after, like, a whole 10 years of him being a wrestler in the 80s. And nobody really cares about it. He could have just went away to nothing. Probably should have went away to nothing. But yeah. He got that IRS gimmick over on Raw and really gave himself just sort of like a whole second career, just a lot more relevancy. I think he was still wrestling into like the early 2000s.
Yeah, I think so. I liked his write-off finisher.
What was that finisher? I don't quite remember.
The write-off.
I remember he called it the write-off.
It's just the STF.
Okay.
Or variation of it.
Yeah, that's a solid finisher.
Yeah.
Wrestled in suspenders. Carrying around that briefcase. You're always hitting people with that briefcase. That was a pretty good bit.
Ooh, it's always good to just have something with you that you can hit people with.
Yeah.
It just says, I could cheat with this at any second. Let's just put it out there.
Is there any of that going on in wrestling anymore?
People
is
carrying around
anybody
things.
Always carries a thing around? Because back in the 80s, like, it like, seemed like at least one out of every three guys like was known for carrying a thing around.
Yeah. Like, there's the Money in the Bank briefcase now.
Sure, sure.
So, like, if a bad guy has that, Marty Scurll has those umbrellas. Is he hitting people with those?
I would be if I was him.
Yeah. I'm trying to think.
Good for him for having a prop.
Yeah. People need to bring back the props, I think.
For a brief period there, Nigel McGuinness was trying to get over that he was
that
carrying
iron?
An iron to the ring. I didn't really get what that was all about, but whatever. Hit people with a fucking iron. That's cool.
Our guy, Ace whatever in
Take
the cowbell.
Take the wrinkles out of your gear and then hit somebody with a... What? Oh, Ace Steel
carrying around
a cowbell?
Yeah.
This is shit's all still like 10 years ago. This current people, step it up. Bring some props to the ring.
Go to the Dollar General. Buy yourself something. Make it your thing, man.
Okay.
Make it yours.
We're getting to number three. We're all the way up there to number three now.
Number one, number three.
Number one. Our number one pick.
It doesn't matter.
My how time flies.
It's all irrelevant.
No, this is ranked.
My final one.
I thought a lot about how I'm going to rank these guys.
He tried to get over.
Mm-hmm.
Worked his way up, you know.
You better.
Got into the...
Best be trying.
Saturday night main events.
In this business, if you ain't trying.
And he was a nerdy dork and didn't quite work and... Monday Night Raw came. It was going to be his chance, and he was there, but he's still not that great. Maybe a little edgier.
I thought this was going to be a more triumphant story.
It wasn't that great.
It was dark.
He started wearing like a cool like Monday Night Raw denim jacket.
That
made
is
him a little
cool.
edgier.
I wonder if there's any of those denim jackets on eBay.
Hopefully.
Check that shit out.
And then one day...
I'm going to roll into the bar one of these nights. You're going to be super jealous. I'm going to have a Raw denim jacket, and I'm going to be like, well, you know... You brought it up, and I went through and found it.
You son of a bitch.
Now you can't have one, because then it would look like we are a tag team. Well, I guess that would be pretty cool.
That'd be cool, too.
Yeah. Matching outfits. We were talking about that earlier. We love it.
Yeah, let's
Why don't
get
we
those.
Just both get them?
Yeah, there we go. Let's do it. Let's do it. But anyways, this denim jacketed guy.
There's a guy who's wearing the denim jacket.
One day a Canadian spit in his face, and he realized he could
Canadians
be the bad guy.
Are famously polite.
I'm talking about Vinnie Mac, bro.
Oh, Vince McMahon himself.
Yeah.
I guess he was a 1980s guy. You're right about that.
Yeah.
It didn't occur to me.
He was awful in the 80s.
Didn't occur to me.
He was awful in the 90s. But eventually he made himself relevant.
He turned into Mr. McMahon.
The character he always wanted to be.
I've said it here many times, other than David Crockett. Vince McMahon is probably my least favorite play-by-play man of all time. People who like did it for a long time, did it as a permanent position. He sucked. Mr. McMahon, though, might be one of the greatest wrestling bad guy characters. Well, not might. It's definitely one of the best evil wrestling characters of all time.
So he was persistent. He
Absolutely.
Stood with it.
I guess he kind of had to be because, you know, he owned the fucking company and shit.
You know, he finally got his way. Never gave up on that dream, you know?
He's really just like... A Horatio Alger, just a story of American exceptionalism, just very inspirational.
Mm-hmm.
My number one. I think a lot of people, younger wrestling fans,
young
I
kids
think,
today.
Sort of don't realize how long this guy was around before he really had a breakthrough in his career.
John Cena.
Rocketed.
Oh,
John Cena. He was out there.
Oh, sorry.
Since the 1980s. It's a long time. A lot of people just dig it up. His 80s matches are great.
Oh,
no,
so good.
I'm talking about my man Scott Hall.
Scotty.
He comes into the Raw era of WWF. He becomes Razor Ramon. The rest is history. You know, he takes that character to the top. He does. Decides Vince ain't paying him enough money. Jumps to WCW. Starts that NWO thing. NWO is like one of the most money-making things that ever happened in wrestling. You think about the 90s. You think about fucking Scott Hall, one of the main guys. That big ladder match with Shawn Michaels. Yeah. Fucking... You know, him coming out on Nitro, one of the biggest stars of wrestling. But he wasn't just a 90s guy. He wrestled, like, all through the fucking 80s.
Yeah, he did.
He was just generic Scott Hall.
Yeah.
You know, him and Kurt Hennig, AWA tag champs. It's not just like, oh, brief period of this guy, and then he found his character. Nah, there was, like, a good 10 years of just Scott Hall wrestling, and nobody fucking cared.
Nobody.
And then total reinvention. Raw era comes around. He becomes Razor Ramon, the bad guy. And what a great success story. 80s guy thriving in that Raw era. You look back 25 years of Raw. That 1-2-3 kid match where he first pinned Razor Ramon.
Yeah.
That's got to be like top 10 moments or something.
Everybody.
All of Raw. All of fucking Raw.
Everybody got excited over that.
I got so excited. That little kid looked so dumb, I didn't think he was ever going to win a match.
Yeah, he looked real dumb.
And they gave him the name 1-2-3 Kid, and I was like, that's a pretty dumb name, though. Lightning Kid made a lot more sense. It seemed cooler. He could have all the lightning bolts on his tights. Now he's just...
Now it says 1-2-3 on his tights.
1-2-3 Kid? That's not a very cool nickname. He kind of got screwed there.
Yeah.
X-Pac, though. That's a super cool fucking name.
Hell yeah.
We're talking about, what was that, Cody whatever, the guy earlier? Super cool name. X-Pac, right up there. Yeah. All-time ring names.
Like, if you let some, like, 12-year-old dipshit Cougar in the 90s. Yeah, Cougar J. Like, oh, name yourself anything you want. I'm going to be X-Pac.
Because, like, you know, there was Tupac, and the kids loved him.
So he's going to just call himself
X-Pac. And he's like, hey, guys, X-Pac. I'm kind of like an honorary black guy, don't you think? And, like, Hall and Nash were like, oh, yeah, totally. I think so. I've always thought so.
Oh, I'm sorry. He was Six-Pac, though.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he was Six-Pac, I guess.
And that's because 1-2-3 makes six.
And you get Tupac, Six-Pac. It's a nice playoff. And then it's not as much of a jump as if he would have been X-Pac instantly. Yeah. So, yeah, I guess throwing a little shade at old X-Pac. But your name makes sense. Sorry, buddy.
Scotty Hall, though.
Hope he's doing good.
Back to Scott. He's a good dude. I Scott thought about Hall, putting him on that list as well.
Probably not doing good.
No,
is he still on that DDP yoga kick?
Yeah, I think he's doing good.
Okay.
I think he's all right.
If he's still sober, yeah. I'm going to give him props. Got to be a couple years at this point. I didn't think that guy'd ever get sober.
Razor Ramon, though, he changed the game.
He won all those slammies for drunkest guy.
Oh.
It was impressive how many years he won that award in a row.
Oh, boy. Hope he's okay.
Rest in peace.
No.
Still alive. Still alive.
Him and Jake the Snake.
Okay.
Doing good.
Still alive.
Doing good things.
Maybe we'll see some Jake the Snake next week.
Ooh,
where's that? Going back up north, watching primetime wrestling.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to watch that first episode from 1988. Tearing into it. New year. January 4th, 1988 is on the docket. So
it was a good day.
Prepare yourself. Get ready for it.
Study up.
You know. We'll watch it. Maybe we'll be more high energy next week.
Yeah.
Do some blow beforehand.
Yeah.
Not dragging ass from all these terrible misadventures
Long
I have.
Weekend of drinking.
Getting bombed at hotel bars.
Illnesses. And
snowed in.
High energy.
Outside is frightful, Matt.
Cold weather outside is weather.
Feeling it, though. Next week, high energy.
Oh,
high energy.
That's my favorite team, high energy.
Getting back into it.
Are we going to wear the jackets like high energy?
I'm hoping that we can have our Raw jackets by next week.
Ooh.
And then we could probably wear like the checkered high energy pants with those.
Oh,
that'd be really cool.
That'll look really good.
It's like, who are those guys? They look like walking NASCAR.
Just a couple of badasses.
Awesome.
Is that a Bob Thurman Holly? Bob Sparkplug?
Sparky Plug?
Yeah, Sparky Plug.
No, I think he's very old now. That's just some guy who's dressed awesome.
Oh, okay. My mistake. But either way,
look out, ladies.
Watch out. Look for it next week on Baby Oil and Blow.